68th book of Psalm. 68th book of Psalm. It just looked like I've been in the Psalms. Those of you that come on Tuesday night, you know we've been dealing with Psalms, just kind of going through the Psalms. But I read this passage of Scripture, and it stuck with me, and I believe it would be an encouragement to the people of God. How many of y'all know that God's people need to be encouraged? I preached a message some time ago. What else does God have to do for us? Amen. He's already really done enough. And in fact, Sister Roxanne, if God don't do nothing else, I've got enough to praise him for what he's already done for me, even though I know he's not through blessing me, because your eye have not seen, nor have your ears heard, neither have it appeared unto the hearts of men what good things God has in store for them that love him. And so God still has some good things for us. Amen, amen, amen. And so Psalm 68 and verse number 9, it simply says this: Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. You may take your seats. O God, dost send a plentiful rain. I want to talk to you, if I was to take a subject matter, but I want you to keep your Bibles open, because I'm going to preach the book. Is that all right with you all? If I was to take a subject, I would just simply talk to you for the subject matter, God's care. God's care. When you look at Psalm 68, it is one of the many passages of Scripture that teach us how to be victorious and triumphant in life. The heading to the psalm identified David as the author. David wrote it for the moving of the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. When you look at the 6th chapter of 2 Samuel, it would give you details in regards to that move. And so this was a divine formula at the setting forth of the ark. The whole psalm seems to be one that was sung when the ark was in procession. So this came on the heels of another great victory. That was the taking of Jerusalem for Israel's capital. Yet even as David celebrated these glorious triumphs, he knew that more battles lay ahead of him and the nation. And he recalled and praised God for his help in the past. And he prayed for God's continued power for the future. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the past. But how many of y'all know we need the hand of God and we need the blessings of God as we head towards our future? And so the transporting of the ark was an illustration of Israel's and our great need for God. I don't know about you, but without God, I could do absolutely nothing. Without God, I would fail. Without God, the song said, I'd be drifted like a ship without a sail. Because fact of the matter is, it is in him that we live and that we move and that we have our very being. And so we need God. Amen. And so this text shows the great need for God, because the ark represented God's presence among his people. It was carried in front of the procession to Jerusalem, and the people followed behind. This order symbolizes our need for God to march ahead of us as we proceed through life. And I'm glad that we have God's word, and God's word has declared to us that God goes before us. And so it really don't matter what you are facing and what you have to face on tomorrow. The good news is God goes before us. And the Bible said the reason that he goes before us is he makes the crooked places straight. Thank you, Jesus. You know that the enemy have dug pits and spit snares for our feet. And so God goes before us. And so as David emphasized in this Psalms, God had marched ahead of Israel throughout her challenging but glorious history. And so from Mount Sinai to the wilderness, to the promised land, all the way to Jerusalem, God led them all the way. And so as David led the people to ponder the past, he also pointed them to the future, because the entire world would one day worship God at Zion. You have to understand what we're experiencing now is absolutely nothing. Amen. But I mean, I know it's good to experience God now. It's good to feel the presence of God right now. But this is nothing, because one day the entire world will worship God at Zion. And Israel and the world's greatest victory is yet to come. I know that you've had many victories in your life, but the best is yet to come. Amen. Somebody ought to just declare the best is yet to come. Is yet to come. Just as God will lead Israel to his ultimate purpose for her, we may rejoice in the confidence that God will march ahead of us as we persevere through the conflicts of life. God will rise up in our behalf, and he's going to scatter all of our enemies. His will for us and his work in us, it will be performed. Whatever God's will is for your life, I don't care what the devil says, I don't care what he does, I don't care what it look like right now, don't just soak in what it looks like right now. God will perform his will for your life. And so when you look at Psalm 68, it wouldn't be right for me to just deal with verse number 9, because then you wouldn't understand the full context of the text today. But when you look at verses 1 through 6, David, first of all, he will show us the exaltation of God's character, that God is exalted, because the character of God is especially exalted in the first 6 verses. And when I read those 6 verses, I saw 5 aspects of God's character and how David is celebrating them right here. For when you look at, just glance at verse number 1, you will see the terror from the character, because David starts off by saying, let God arise and let the enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. You have to understand that when God rises up to take action, there is terror from the enemies. And in terror, the enemy will be scattered and flee before God. Stop arguing and stop fighting and just let God arise. Look at your neighbor and say, let God arise. Because guess what? When you let God arise, the enemies cannot help but to be scattered. Now, when you arise in yourself and it cause more confrontation, the enemy gonna keep on coming after you. But I dare you to let the God that's down on the inside of you rise. And I can promise you that the enemies will be scattered. And then when you look at verse number 2, I see the triumph of the character, because look what he says. He says, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. You see, God, he will triumph over his enemies in a very pronounced way, the blowing away of smoke by wind and the melting of wax in heat are two portrayals of the triumphant divine judgment upon the wicked. How many of you all know the wicked will be judged one day? I said the wicked will be judged. Let the wicked folk do what they do. Sometimes it seems like that the wicked is getting the best and they're getting ahead. But how many of y'all know they're not getting ahead? For the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Sometimes it'll cause the saints to sit back and you ask the question, why do it seem like the wicked are prospering? I look like I do everything. Thing that I can to live for God and to serve God, and it just seems like the wicked is prospering. Well, guess what? David said, don't worry about it, because as the smoke is driven away, so will God drive wickedness away. And then when you glance down at verse number 3, I see the thrill in the character. Can I preach the Bible here today? I see the thrill in the character, because he says, let the righteous be glad and let them exceedingly rejoice. How many of y'all know if you're righteous, there should be some rejoicing on the inside? I've never seen the life of so many saved folk that are so dry and so plucked up, look like by the roots, and just always down and always singing the blues. He said, let the righteous be glad, because God's character, it brings delight to the righteous. When I think about the character of God, I cannot help but to rejoice. I cannot help to rejoice, because God is not man that he should lie. I can't help but to rejoice, because whatever God says, I know that it shall come. It shall come to pass. And so this thrill of the righteous is associated with the judgment upon the wicked, because righteousness is vindicated when wickedness is judged. And this brings a great thrill to the vindicated righteous, and therefore it ought to cause us to rejoice that my living is not in vain, that my serving God is not in vain, that it may look like they're getting ahead, but that's all right, because the day is coming when the righteous will be vindicated. Then when I look at verse number 4, see how quick we're going through the character of God here, I see the tribute for the character, because he says, sing unto God. Y'all got your Bibles? He says, sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him. And then I like this part, because it says, by his name, Jah. That's all he said, by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. Somebody said, what is that Jah? That just means Jehovah. In other words, Jehovah Jireh, God my provider, Jehovah Shalom, God our peace, Jehovah Nisi, God our banner. All you got to do is look at all the Jehovahs. He's the worthy Lamb of God. He's the King of Kings. He's my Redeemer. He's the Lion of Judah. He's my Savior. He's Lord of Lords. He's Master. And when I think about all of that, I cannot help but to shout hallelujah. When I think about the character of God. And so he says, as a tribute, you ought to sing unto God. How many of y'all know that we as believers have a song that the angels can't sing? And that song is what? Redeemed redeemed. I've been redeemed. I've been washed in the blood of the crucified one. And what? And I've been redeemed. When you glance down at verse 5 and 6, I see the tenderness in God's character, because it simply says a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. And then he says, set it solitary in families, bringeth out those which are bound with chains. I don't want you to miss this, because he said he's a father of the fatherless. In other words, even the orphans who have no means of support, God takes care of them. How many of y'all know he's a father to the fatherless? He's a mother. Oh, that sounds like somebody know what I'm talking about. He's a mother to the motherless. He's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. And then he says that he's a respecter of widows. He said widows in those days were without support and were often victim of the cruel, the greedy, and the wealthy. But God intervenes for the widows to protect them from unjust conduct. A widow, in other words, one who have lost their spouse and sometimes have to feel like they're all alone. I stop back here to tell you that the text says that God is a respecter of the widows. And then he's a restorer of families. It's right here in the text, the restoration of families. How many of y'all know God can restore the family? The devil know that if he can get the family on his side, eventually he can get the church. And so the devil want to divide families. But somebody ought to shout, the devil is a liar. I didn't hear you. I said somebody else shout, the devil is a liar. He wants to devour families. But this text says that God, he's a restorer of families. And he was meaning here when they were down in Egypt land, when they were in bondage, there were many homes that were broken up. But God says, I'm going to restore. I'm going to restore everything that the devil tried to break up. He says, so I'm a restorer of family. And not only am I a restorer of family, but I'm going to rescue those that are enslaved. And this speaks of rescuing the oppressed. I've never seen the life of so many saints that are oppressed and so many believers that are depressed. Somebody say, preach, pastor. He talks about change here. And how many of y'all know that chains don't necessarily mean that you have to be locked up physically or tied up physically? The devil can have chains on you, and you can have the freedom of your hands and the freedom of your feet. And chains just simply means a bondage. The devil can put chains on your mind. Somebody ought to say, devil, you a liar. Tell him, devil, you a liar. Touch your head. Say, devil, you a liar. I've been transformed by the I've been transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm not going crazy. I'm not losing it. Devil, every stronghold, everything that you try to use to enslave me, God says that I come to break every shackle. I come to break every fetter. I come to loose the bound. I come to set the captive free. Because why? Then once I set you free, I want you to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ have set you free. And then he said, be not what entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And when you've done all that you could do to stand, he said, what? Keep on standing. I wish I had about five folk that didn't mind just standing up. Just stand up. Just stand up till I tell you to sit down. Because that is just an indication that God, I'm here to stand. You may be feeling weak, but stand. You may be going through some stuff, but tell your neighbor, I've got to stand. It might have taken everything within you to get up, but that's all right. Guess what? You're up now. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm up now, and I've got to stand. I've got to stand. Y'all go ahead and be seated. Let's just stand too long. That was the first section of Psalms 68 verses 1 through 6. But then when you get to the second section of this Psalms, the second section of this Psalm praises God for the emancipation of the Israelites, which includes the Exodus from Israel. Didn't y'all just get through singing that? Come on here, somebody. This is my Exodus. Exodus, listen, you got to make up. Oh, God, help me here. You got to make up in your mind that enough is enough. See, some of y'all ain't got tired enough. I already know. And some of y'all like playing and dibbling and dabbling. You like what you're involved in. But how many of y'all know you got to get to a point where you got to put your foot down? And you got to tell the devil, this is my Exodus. Hey, oh, 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 oh. You might not even know what to say sometimes. Keep your mouth shut and just say, oh, 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 oh. Sometimes God knows what that oh is. Y'all ain't going to help me preach. I said, God knows what that oh is. You got to say, this is my evidence. Enough is enough. Devil, you done pushed me from pillar to post long enough. You done kept me up in night long enough. My God. Devil, you are a liar. I'm not going to trip no more over the same old conversation. I'm not going to trip no more over the same old situation. And do I have anybody that has shout enough is enough? And shout, this is my evidence. It's my Exodus. Because when you look at verses 7 and verse number 8, I'm going to feel like preaching in a minute. It is the emancipation of the Israelites. It includes the Exodus from Egypt and the traveling in the wilderness and the sojourning at Sinai. You have to understand when you look at that, even though they left Egypt, Elamason, they had to travel right through the wilderness. But when I look at verse 7 and 8, I see the power in the emancipation. When I speak of emancipation, I speak of the freedom. I speak of deliverance. You see, power was most evident in the emancipation of the Israelites. Well, if I'm going to talk about power, I got to talk about the source of the power. And when you look at verse 9, number 7, David says, God, somebody ought to say God. He said, God, thou wentest before thy people. Thou dost march through the wilderness. And so that lets me know, Roxanne, that God was a source of the power. Israel certainly was not, for they were powerless in their bondage. And somebody, you come to church here, oh, help me, Lord. You come to church here today and you feel powerless right where you are. You feel powerless where you work. You feel powerless in your home. You feel powerless in your marriage. But I come to bring a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. There's no other power like the Holy Ghost power. God was the source of the power. God himself, he didn't send the angel Gabriel, but God himself guided the Israelites out of Egypt and through their wilderness wanderings. The Lord went before them, leading them with a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. Even though their 40-year delay in the wilderness was God's
discipline for their faithlessness. He never gave up on Jacob's descendants. I stop right here. Maybe you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Because the children of Israel had a promise from God, and that promise was Canaan land, and it was only supposed to take them a few days to get there. Fact of the matter is, less than a week to make it over into Canaan. But because of their disobedience, because of their faithlessness, God said, the Bible said, God had to take them the longer way around. And so stop blaming everything on the devil. Maybe God is trying to discipline you. Maybe God's trying to open your eyes to something. But in the midst of their disobedience, in the midst of their shortcoming, in the midst of all of their frailties, God never gave up on them. And you ought to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God has not given up on you. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you've been with. I don't care how long you've been there. You need to understand, God has not, he has not given up on you. It really don't matter what you feel about yourself. I stop back here to tell you that God has not given up on you. He never gave up on Jacob's descendants. He was with them each long day of their journey. He was protecting and he was providing for them. Who else do you know can be in the wilderness for 40 years and never have to buy a pair of shoes? I ain't gonna talk to me. If my godless shoes never wore out, now don't nobody ask me because I was not there, but somebody said that God just allowed their shoes to grow right along with their feet. Somebody said that's bizarre. Well, guess what? That's not bizarre when you're dealing with God, because it is no secret what God can do, what God has done for others. He can do the same for you. God provided for them. He was the source of the power. And then when I look at verse number 8, we're almost down to the text verse. When I look down at verse number 8, I see some shaking going on. I want to talk a minute about the shaking in the power. The Bible said that the earth shook. And it says Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God. And so God's great power shook up things at Sinai. How many of y'all know God can shake things up? Hallelujah. Get your hand out of it, Ella Mason. God can shake it up. The Bible says that the heavens dropped in the presence of God. It's right there in the text. And when you look at the thick cloud, according to Exodus, it concealed the person of God from the people. In other words, God said, I can do what I'm able to do with my power without you even seeing my face. Hallelujah. Why? Because the whole earth shook at the power of God. That's why I don't understand how you can come to church in the presence of the Almighty God and not give God some praise and not thank God and not be at all at the presence of the Almighty God. I better wrap it up because I feel something. But when I glance down at verse number 8, I see the site for the power, and that was Sinai. It experienced a great display of God's power when Moses was given the law. And so we've dealt with the power. Now let's go down to our text now. I see the provision in the emancipation. How many of y'all know when God sets you free, you ain't got to worry about nothing? You ain't got to worry about how am I going to supply. Hallelujah. How am I going to provide for myself? When God sets you free, not only will God protect you, but he'll provide for you. You see, the emancipation included God providing for the Israelites because they could not provide for themselves. And then when, look at verse number 9, I'm almost finished now. I see the plenitude of the position, of the provision. It says, God, this, he sent a what? Plentiful rain. You see, this is not water rain, but a rain of blessings. He sent down manna from heaven. He sent down quail and water from the rock. God rained down plenty of blessings for the Israelites. Well, when I look at that verse, I got to look at the size of the blessing, and I got to look at the strengthening from the blessing, and then I'm going to close with the season of the blessing. When you look at the size of the blessing, it said plenty for rain. How many of y'all know God is not cheap, and no one blesses us more liberally as God does. The Lord graciously provided for his people on the journey to the promised land. And the plentiful rain represents all that God did to refresh his weary people along the way. He provided water when they were thirsty and manna when they were hungry. He even gave them a little bit of meat when they were dissatisfied with the manna. Scriptures say God rained. He rained bread and flesh, and he also rained some meat. What you worrying about your next meal for? You ought to say, I am a child of God. If God rained it then, he can rain it right now. You can go to the store, and God will bless you in the parking lot. Don't tell me what God won't do. I feel like preaching here now. He made a way out of no way. His blessings is more than a sprinkle here and there. But the Bible say plentiful rain. If divine blessings seem small to you, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. How many of y'all know sin will limit the blessings of God? If you want God to rain down blessing, you got to get to sin. Somebody say, preach, pastor, out of your life. Because when God blesses, it's an overflow. Is there anybody here? You're waiting on the overflow. Get the sin out of your life. And when God sent down the plentiful rain, look at the strengthening from the blessing. It says, whereby, we got to stay in the text here, whereby thou didst, it confirmed thy inheritance. The word confirm means to establish and to strengthen. The Israelites marching through the wilderness could easily become, they could become discouraged, and they could become weary. But somebody say, oh, glory! They became weary, not only physically, but also spiritually. But divine blessings, it came to strengthen them physically and spiritually. This is what divine blessings will do for us. Yes! When I'm feeling at my lowest point, I don't have enough strength to put one foot in front of the other. God will. He will strengthen me. God is my refuge and my strength. He's a present help. Oh, Lord, I got to go now. In the time of trouble, have thou not heard? Have thou not known? The everlasting Father, the creator of the universe, he fainteth not, but he giveth power to those who have no might. He will increase your strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Young men surely fall, but they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew your strength. You gonna mount up with wings as eagle. You gonna run and not be weary. You will walk and you're not gonna faint. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, be strengthened. Be strengthened in the name of the Lord. Be strengthened from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Be strengthened. Wave at me and say, be strengthened in the name of the Lord. I'm going to my seat. I said, I'm going to my seat. But notice when God displayed his power. Notice when God displayed his strength. Notice the season of the blessing. It was when it. Don't miss it. When it was weary. Somebody say, when it was weary. When it, God's inheritance, when it, God's people became weary, God said, hey, I got to strengthen you. God says, I come to rescue you. God says, I come to bless you. Yes. When your parched and dry, he sends plentiful rain. When you're faint and faltering, he'll strengthen you. You can count on God right where you are. Count on him in your tiredness. Hey, in your weariness, count on God. God will strengthen you. He'll lift you up where you belong, on eagle's wings. Say yeah. Say yeah. Ah, yes. Right where you are. Right where you are. God says, I'm going to come and I'm going to rescue you because I care about you. Be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will. Take care of you. Beneath the shadow of his wings you can hide. God will take care of you. Let God arise. Woo! Let the enemy be scattered. And let God send the latter rain. Somebody ought to say, send the rain. Send the rain. Send the rain. Send the rain. Hey, rain on us. Rain on us. Rain on us. Rain on us. plentiful rain. Rain on me, rain on me. If you don't want the rain, I'll take it. I said, I'll take the rain. Because it's a plentiful rain. That when you become weary, when you my inheritance, when you my people, when you my saints, hallelujah, when you become weary, God said, I will send the rain. And it's going to be more than enough. It ain't going to just sprinkle, but it's going to be enough. Hallelujah. 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 That's why I can stand here and declare, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus and make it manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. Everywhere I go, I'm victorious. God cares about you. God's power will see you through. His strength, he will hold you up. He's going to put the family back together again. Widows, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Let God arise and let the enemy be scattered. Everybody stand. God in his infinite power and his divine grace, he'll cause